Coming up next is number one with a bullet. It's 1981 and it's Wake, Rattle, and Roll time on every Saturday morning.
And now, 3, 2,
like, zoinks! Hey, everybody. Good morning. It's 19 every day.
It's 19 every day.
Practically. It's 1981 here on every Saturday morning. I'm Adam Fair.
And I'm Dusty Griffin. And you know, Adam, I've been doing a lot of thinking about the 80s.
It's hard not to.
I know. I mean, the Cold War and...
Reheating and the Cold War.
Reaganomics and...
Reheating Reaganomics.
Ralph Nader.
I sure hope... While I hope the time period doesn't repeat itself, I hope the amount of work that people put into things such as these cartoons it comes back into play. Even though, having said that, let's trash these bad cartoons. It's still 1981. It's always 1981.
Yeah, you know, just to remind everybody real quick, just in case you haven't been following our saga, we were in 1988, and then we randomly skipped back to 1966 using the magic ESM number generator, and now we've skipped back forward to 1981. You know,
yeah,
in the 60s they couldn't decide whether they wanted to be rebels or Leave It to Beaver,
right.
Yeah, and now here we are back in the early 80s.
And now we're not really trying to be anything in 1981. That is,
we're trying to be the 60s.
Oh man, 1981 sure had some things notable, such as their top songs. The top songs in 1981 were She's Got Betty Davis Eyes, whoa, Elvira, another one, yeah, Bites the Dust, Endless Love, I don't know that one, Jesse's Girl, Working 9 to 5, Keep on Loving You, because it's the only thing I'm gonna do. And of course, the Stars on 45 medley. Do you know about Stars on 45? Well, you're familiar with Weird Al Yankovic's polka medleys, right?
Am I?
Well, the first polka medley he did was called Polkas on 45, which was specifically making fun of the phenomena of Stars on 45, a crappy cover slash melody generator, you know, something Glee would probably put out, where they just kind of sang all the hit songs of the last 6 years or so, in usually disco, kind of a medley. They were cheap, and so Weird Al did that parody on the In 3D album,
Adult Bop.
Far out, so much to learn in the 80s.
I think he's a man of integrity.
Hey, we're on the Peacock network, NBC. That means we're looking at their top series, and at the time, people were watching Chips, Real People, The Facts of Life.
Yeah, Real People, that's a news topic show, like a...
Do you remember? It was like America's Funniest People, but a little more like... I guess they would have people send in tapes. It was Fred Willard, and I don't remember who else was on it, because I watched... They had a show spinoff of that called George Schlatter's Funny People in, like, 88 or so, with a bunch of funny people on it.
But, you know, I remember it, like, the title font was in Cooper. But anywho,
Little House on the Prairie was still on in 1981.
Jesus, go to bed, John Boy.
Give Me a Break premieres, and I watched a lot of Give Me a Break.
As well, you should have.
Way past the point, it should have. Began my fascination
with Nell
growing
Carter.
Up with those Lawrence brothers, and Hill Street Blues, a show I've never seen. What's its theme? Isn't it sort of that theme that's like da 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 da?
Yeah, you know what it was? It
classic
was
blues melody.
It was one of those combo shows, a hybrid. It was a depresso comedy. You know,
everyone can have a bad time on the Hill Street Blues.
It was the St. Elsewhere cop shows, right? So there you go, Adam. You saw St. Elsewhere, right? It was all...
Why is Hill Street so sad?
I don't know.
It must be because they're up at 8 o'clock in the morning. And they're going to watch the Flintstone comedy show.
Oh.
To differentiate from their dramatic work. Mm-hmm. And this is season 2 of these, 18 episodes. Did you notice in the theme song right away, we'll have a blank old time?
Yeah, Adam, about that.
Why do you think they did that?
It no longer says
1981, right?
It no longer says we'll have a gay old time.
Whoa!
Because now it says we'll have a great old time, and then it reiterates one more time: we'll have a great.
We'll have
great.
I thought that threw me off. I was like, whoa, what happened?
Oh man, I wrote it down.
Some people had to leave town.
Yeah.
Mr. Slate had to get out of town. Now I'm in charge.
They had a great old time. And did you notice they added like a Bullwinkle style announcer on this version of the Flintstones?
Yeah, this show's weird because this is sort of Flintstones hosting a variety show, sort of. But the variety is just like mini Flintstone episodes, kind of.
Yeah. Interlaced with shorts.
There was a thing where they were like celebrity face scramble. And they're like, you gotta guess who it is. That's Gil Gerard from Buck Rogers. I was like, what am I looking at?
That's kind of amazing, though. Like, I mean, to even think that these exist out there done by the voice of Fred Flintstone and whatnot. Weren't you just picturing, what's his name? Who's the voice of Fred Flintstone?
Oh, I don't remember now.
Oh, shit. Well, anyway. So
OG. Well, at this point, it's Henry Corden. He's Fred, too.
Were you picturing him, like, in the studio recording these, like, oh, it's Abraham Lincoln. You know?
Yeah, there was one.
These are amazing. You're not going to see this stuff unless you searched out this exact
bit. Well, here's what blew my mind. This purports that the Flintstones are, like, cartoon actors. You know, like Garfield kind of indicates something.
And Alf.
But yet they're forced to live in the Stone Age still, even though. I was like, so you know who John Travolta is? It's like, too bad we're separated. By time and space, or what's going on? So the voices, real quick, not that we won't have to say these again. Henry Corden, Gene Vanderpyle, Mel Blanc,
Vanderpyle,
Gay Otterson, yep, and Frank Welker, Kenneth Mars, Rudely, and Don Messick, John Stevenson, Russi Taylor, Lenny Weinrib, and Mike Sheenan.
Gay Otterson, you mean Great Otterson?
Bingo, wingo. Yeah. This is the Modern Stone Age Family, starring in a series of shorts and gags. So there's the Flintstone Family Adventures, which is like a really crappy episode of the Flintstones.
Yeah, yeah. This is the one where they're cops, Adam?
Well, there's a couple different segments, one of which is called Bedrock Cops, where Fred and Barney are part-time officers assisted by Shmoo. Do you know anything about Shmoo?
He looks like a Herculoid.
That's because they ripped off Shmoo. Shmoo. Shmoo's from like the late 40s. He was from
Are you kidding me?
Little Abner. And after Mickey Mouse, he was the hugest like merchandise specific character that was in media at the time. So he's huge. He's like he's a large bowling pin shape-shifting creature with whiskers. Delightfully helpful and delicious. He's kind of like that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy restaurant at the end of the universe creature that would love to provide human sustenance. I wrote the Amelgan Major Cow. I hope that's correct. And a boy in his blob clearly saw this character as well.
Yeah, man. So this is weird. Okay, first of all.
So they're cops?
They're cops, and I don't know why.
You feel lucky, Pawnee?
They don't really give you a good reason why they're cops, or, you know, they just are. They're just like, let's go be cops.
I thought he had a rook. Bonnie, that's not funny.
He was holding a pterodactyl. It's a
dark.
But, you know, okay, so they're cops. But also Betty Wilmer are kind of cops, too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're... So they're in their own segment as well with Captain Caveman, right?
Yes, they have teamed Betty and Wilma. First of all, Betty's got a new voice. I can tell.
Yeah, she's great now. I mean, gay. And she's just Otterson. She's a gay Otterson. Yeah, oh, man, there's a lot to unpack. But moving on.
Anyway.
Also, did you care for this version of Betty? It kind of sounded like, hey, is Betty... way too old to do Betty anymore. Her voice was like, how's it going, Wilma?
Adam.
Sounded like Flapjack.
Adam, I gotta tell you, this Betty really took me out of it.
Bonk, yeah.
I couldn't.
Almost as much as Rosie O'Donnell.
I don't want to bash the hard work that these people do, like we always say, but I just could not handle her voice. Like,
yeah, it was odd. You know what? I didn't even watch enough to really say I heard her do the laugh.
Yeah, me either.
Which is the only reason I think Rosie got that job. Remember, I was talking to somebody about the Flintstones movie, and I was like, remember how people used to have a crush on Betty Rubble? Like, Wayne's World was, like, all about her. Like, it came up a lot. And then Rosie O'Donnell played her in the live-action movie, and then that stopped. I think everybody moved on to Josie and the Pussycats.
Correlation?
Bonnie! So, I watched the episode Fred versus the Energy Crisis. Fred orders a fancy new hot tub called a Rakuzi. But Mr. Gypsum hands Fred a high estimate, so he takes a hot bath. But cheapskate Fred didn't even pay the water bill, I guess. So he stays up all night designing his energy-efficient bath, which is a bunch of like solar mirrors and water and a windmill, and it's ridiculous. But he uses everything, Bon. We're going to make 1,000,000 clams. Fred makes the front page, but then like a windy day just causes all of them to go crazy, and it floods the town. And then Mr. Gypsum delightfully gives Fred a horrendous bill.
Aw. How will he pay for this?
I'm going to hang myself, Bon.
We're going to
do it, Fred.
We're going to have to sell part of Shmoo.
Shmoo's going to have to shapeshift into some things he wasn't prepared to do.
Oh, you know, is this where the girls work for the Daily Granite?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe this Captain Caveman short was also on the show Wake, Rattle, and Roll. It's one of the many horrendous segments on that show.
Oh, hey, Adam, have you ever noticed that Captain Caveman's laugh is the same as Heathcliff's?
Same guy, I mean...
Still.
Bunga bunga.
Yeah.
I'm more like obsessed with like how at the beginning of the Flintstones, he kind of sounds like this. Yabba dabba do. And then Mel Blanc got in that horrible accident. And then he sounds like this, Fred.
I gotta lie down, buddy. Your pal's feeling tired.
Bond's in the barn.
You peed yourself again.
Also, teenage Pebbles and Bam Bam are here, returning from their failed spinoff.
I was going to say, because we want the worst of all worlds. No, we don't.
I didn't see Schlep Rock. I didn't care for this version of adult Bam Bam, who I usually find kind of hot. This one, weak. I watched A Night of Fright, where Bam crashes the car in the rain, so Pebbles and Bam Bam and Dino have to ask for help at a creepy castle. Where an elderly couple invites the two in, much to their annoyance of their randomly seen, clearly evil butler and maid. They could share a bed, but Bam Bam decides to take his own bedroom. Dino spars with a Black Panther. The haunted house turns out to be a fake, though, ran by two evil actors who are trying to scare people away. There's that again.
Mm-hmm. So this sounds like a Scooby-Doo plot, first of all.
So I watched these in order. I watched the one where Fred is building something, and for a helmet, Fred Flintstone wears a turtle shell. So when you're a construction worker, you wear a helmet, and helmets are turtle shells in the Flintstones universe. That's been established. What does Bam Bam wear?
I can't imagine.
Bam Bam wears a turtle shell. So is Bam Bam stone special? Is he a geode? I don't know what they would say in this world.
He wears like a protective helmet.
That's what I saw. I was like, oh, well, God, he's wearing a tiny one. That's not good.
That's sad.
Anyway, also, I noted cereal didn't come up once on this show. Right behind you. Like, that didn't happen ever.
How does this Pebbles jive with the one in the other sub-story here?
What, in her original spinoff show?
Well, she's got a show on here where she hangs out with a bunch of monsters. I got Pebbles.
Oh, well, yeah.
I didn't get its name. I just wrote down Pebbles Monster Clique.
Pebbles?
She seems younger.
Okay, so she's like... There's another part of this show called The Frankenstones.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a Munster-Flintstone hybrid because it's just so popular. It made it to to the 80s, I guess. Yeah. So here's some interesting casting. Frank Frankenstone, Charles Nelson Reilly.
Oh my God. Oh, Adam, I was going to say it. I was going to say it's somebody doing a Charles Nelson Reilly impression. It's Charles Nelson Reilly himself.
Breakfast was electric.
Don't you know?
Hidia was Ruta Lee. Their son, Freaky, Paul Rubens.
Oh, no shit.
Don't worry, Dad. I won't invite those weird Flintstones over. And then their daughter, who looked like Wednesday Addams, Atrocia, Zelda Rubinstein.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go toward the rock.
So I watched the episode.
Oh that woman, huh?
So I watched the episode Birthday Boy. On Freaky's birthday, Freaky invites Pebbles to the family, but then Frank, Charles Nelson Reilly, flips out. No ladies, you won't date one. Fred comes by to retrieve his borrowed lawnmower, and I noted that the Frankenstone's doorbell sounds like, it sounds like Pee-wee screaming.
That's awesome.
Frank's rude as fuck to Fred, who runs out totally spooked, leaving a Fred-shaped hole in the wall. Freaky forbids Pebbles to come, but then Pebbles decides she'll dress up like a pink witch and mingle with the other monsters at his birthday party.
They're people too.
That's the lesson that they learned.
The witches.
Big
are
spoiler.
Too. Bonnie.
I was like, oh, I know where this is going.
They're just Wiccans, Bon.
Looks like they're just like us dead people.
Oh, did you notice? I noticed that.
Pussy.
Can I ask you a question, Adam? You know, I didn't write this down, but I want to ask you before I forget, right? What happened to the forgotten saga of Fred and this damn cat that we hear about in the...
Baby Puss?
The theme song. The one in the theme song.
Right, right.
Stay out, when will that cat stay out for the night? And, you know, one day...
After that incident, he killed it.
We hear about this damn cat for like 20 years.
You're dead to me, cat.
I just don't think the cat thing's funny.
You didn't see that one where Dino like digs up a paw?
No.
He's like... Rum, 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 rum. Yip, 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 yip.
One day maybe Fred will win the fight. You know. I don't know. Just...
Is that every segment on this thing? Okay.
Yeah.
One more. Dino and the cave mouse. It's a cat and mouse situation, dinosaur style. And the cave mouse wears a loincloth like Fred does, so I don't know what that means.
I don't know either.
He had to wear it because he had huge genitalia.
We're not backing that up.
He had Betty Davis ball.
He had Betty Rubble eyes.
Man, Captain Caveman's got a really sparkly entrance. It looks like a...
I know.
Doesn't he?
Didn't you feel like Captain Caveman never really gets put in a great show? Like, this is close. Mm. But he's always with the Teen Angels, or I think he's in space at some point, and then he's in the Laugh Olympics, where he's pretty good in Laugh Olympics.
You know what I noticed in this, Adam? Captain Caveman, got saddled with the old... It's a living.
He said that?
Yeah.
Bunga bunga, it's a living.
Yeah, usually.
Oh, really?
Usually that's for the appliances to say. And
or the bird that lives inside of his club.
Yeah.
That sometimes like speaks for him, or at least on Harvey Birdman he did. Oh my God. Well, you know, there's so much to say about Flintstones. Anything else? We'll have another opportunity. Don't worry.
Not really. I say this all the time on the show, but this 1981 Flintstones comedy show, which is actually kind of hard to find online.
Yeah, it's hard to really piece together because it's clearly an hour, but the schedule says it was half an hour. So I assume it was some sort of chop shop job. Slap stoned.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't look for this one.
This ain't the best, but I didn't have a really hard time watching it. The Smoo edition was weird. I was like, what's he doing here?
I didn't either. I mean, it's not the worst thing I've seen. I didn't mind seeing all this.
Smooth sounds like Slimer, by the way. I think I forgot to mention that.
But I would not. don't risk a pop-up site to watch it.
Yeah. Speaking of stoned, it's 8:30. The Smurfs.
Wait.
Season 1.
Yeah.
Of 9, 256 episodes. Smurftastic.
You know the fantastic theme song? This is not it. They had a different theme song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this one's called It's the Smurfy Way.
It's the Smurfy Way. I'm a Smurfy Girl.
No, Not exactly, but it's like the regular one with words. Did none of yours have that on it?
Not the ones I saw, but mine were like old. Mine were like old tapes off of Boomerang when they would show like the toys dancing around and then really random episodes.
Hmm.
Luckily, I had season one like sitting around.
I don't know, for some reason, and somebody's yelling it at the radio. But all the ones I watched had a different theme song, and it was called The Smurfy Way. That's The Smurfy Way, this is The Smurfy Way, and it was not nearly as good.
Maybe it was its Cartoon Express equivalent syndicate packet.
Maybe.
So this is the third animated version of the French-Belgium comic, which began in 1959, having been spun off from Johan and Pee-wee by Pierre Colford, a.k.a. Peyo. Major TV and toy success when one of the longest-running Saturday morning cartoons in TV history. When you talk about Saturday morning cartoons, The Smurfs is inevitable. Have you seen either of the previous Smurf movies?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Like Smurfs and the Magic Flute and Smurf and Griffin Boofin, whatever.
First of all, they look a hell of a lot better. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you think?
Oh, yeah. Because I remember those distinctly, and then when you watch these, they do not have the level of art that those movies had. I mean, I know we've seen this before with G.I. Joe and a couple of others, but no, they fell off.
Well,
I'll tell you, Adam, I tuned into episode 1-1 of the Smurfs, and I was like, ugh.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't necessarily want to start out with a kick to the Smurfs' dick, but Smurfs does place in an endless, oddly sized forest background. It just goes on forever. Like, it's one of the few Hanna-Barbera backgrounds that makes sense. They repeat things, and also I think there's magic implied that keeps the village from really being walked into.
Yeah, so probably you can
you want to buy into that.
If you walk in the village, it probably just perpetuates around you all the time. You know, like that.
Yeah, somebody watching with me made a great point. Do the mushroom houses they live in rot? I assume not, because I believe they would be under the same magic stone that Grandpa was trying to recharge when he returned. Remember, he had this aging stone that keeps the Smurfs in slow-mo. I assumed it took the whole village over. That's my excuse for that.
Yeah, Grandma used it, I think, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, Grandma
used it. Grampers? She's not in this, neither is Grandpa.
Susan Blue.
Yeah, I'm shocked she hasn't come up yet. I'm looking for her, though.
Yeah, Susan
Blue. So please help.
Susan Blue's not running around in 81.
Here's who is on the Smurfs. Don Messick, classic Hanna-Barbera guy, plays Papa, Azrael, Dreamy Smurf, and Sickly Smurf.
Sickly?
I'm gonna Smurf.
Danny Goldman, Brainy Smurf, Lucille Bliss, Smurfette. Frank Welker, who?
As the dog.
He's Hefty, Poet, Pee-wee, and Clockwork Smurf.
Clockwork.
Michael Bell, Handy, Grouchy, Johan, Sleepy Smurf. Now, Sleepy Smurf's voice is insane. Have you heard that character? Leave me alone. I'm trying to sleep. I can't even do... I don't know what that voice is. Is it the sound of someone not awake? It's so crazy.
Heroin nod, Smurf.
One more time to sleep.
It's insane. June Foray is Jokey Smurf. Hamilton Camp, Greedy, and Harmony Smurf. These are all the ones that are at the beginning of the show. William Calloway, Painter, the French Smurf, which I used to think...
Painter Smurf.
I gave, you know, that live-action Smurfs a lot of shit for having a lame Scottish Smurf out of nowhere, but there's a French one here. But at least this is French-Belgian. There's an excuse.
I gotta say, I did too, Adam. I was like, who's the Scottish Smurf?
Hardcore scoff.
And he plays a big part in it, but that's a whole other story.
He's also Clumsy Smurf, classic Clumsy Smurf. Alan Oppenheimer, a voice we should get to know.
Yeah, man. He did
what?
He did all the villains on Black Star.
He's
the nerdiest guy ever.
He's got an endless... He's almost like Frank Welker. He's everywhere. He's Vanity Smurf and Father Time.
Man, this had a great cast.
Alan Young, Farmer and Miner Smurf. And, of course, the irreplaceable... I guess not always. Jim Cummings replaces him often. Paul Winchell is Gargamel. Big Paul Winchell. Radio's favorite ventriloquist act.
Wait, Paul Winchell, forgive me. He's the guy...
He's Tigger. He's the original Tigger.
All right. Okay. I get it.
He's a woodpecker in The Fox and the Hound.
Ooh. Ooh la la.
I didn't say they were all gems.
You know, I caught Sir Hefty myself. And you know what I like about the Smurfs, Adam, that that I didn't remember from before?
Yeah, and did you watch them before, first off?
Hell yes.
Okay, that's good.
I've seen all of this.
Same here.
And I've seen the movie several times. And as you know, I've watched the later episodes with Grandpa and Grandma. Right. And
they're stuck in time.
Yep. They fell apart. For everybody that doesn't know, the Smurfs fell apart in his final season and turned into Quantum Leap. I want to tell you something I did not remember. There's dragons walking around all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Well, dragons are just like... and they're. I know there's no real shadows in any Hanna-Barbera cartoon, but they're just like...
Yeah, I saw two episodes where the village caught on fire.
Do they talk?
Like, whoa.
Are their dragons talking?
No.
Oh, dear.
They don't seem to serve any purpose other than to start fires.
I'm a baby dragon.
But that doesn't happen.
I did not remember that. Oh, and also in that same episode, Adam, which I believe this is Sir Hefty, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the same episode, they said, "It's a bridge over the River Smurf."
Oh, my God.
Oh. I see what you smurfed there.
Yeah, but I bet their bridge was weird. There's a real weird general size disparity going on here. Until Gargamel shows up, who they always go, oh, he's got to be like, they got to be as big as Gargamel's foot. But if Gargamel's not there, just look how crazy big they are sometimes.
What?
They're not gummy bears. You'd swear that's the same universe practically.
You're saying in relation to their surroundings?
It's true, yeah. Except when Gargamel's there, then they know what to do. Also, three apples tall? I don't think that's so. I saw them standing next to an apple. They're like three cherries tall.
That didn't sound
check as... that. Also, Gargamel's got a weird patch over his crotch. That's what? Noted.
They ruined him in the movie.
Hefty has two heart tattoos on each side because laziness, I'm assuming. They couldn't remember if he had one, if he had a tattoo of a heart on the left or the right. I was like, does he have them on both sides?
Yes. His character model has them on.
Also, that means that there's a small mushroom tattoo parlor. I try to make these points every time we talk about Smurfs.
That's like,
these all bother me. Mm-hmm. I watched the episode Magnifying Mixture. It's so hot, even Vanity's limp. Well, his mirror, anyway. The Smurfberry garden has been hit with a drought. I forget what the Smurfberries do. They don't give them gummy bear powers. I don't know if it has much to do with their magic life ability or their inability to age, I should say.
You know, I'm not sure they do anything, Adam. I feel kind of stupid, but
I thought they were just blueberries and Smurfs were stupid.
All I know is they cost parents money.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I know. Like for a box of raisin size. So anyway, Papa's trying to use magic, of course, to grow clouds.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Maybe the dark arts will help.
Hell, his dad did it.
You killed the crops, and they kill him. Hefty accidentally gets doused with it and grows to a full child-sized person. With Brainy's advice, he decides he'd be much more helpful this way. But he just crushes and squishes everything. Now he's off to beat up Gargamel because he's gonna rush. And they go tell Papa Smurf. Azrael is terrified, but Gargamel goes willingly because he wants to end up in the Smurf's location. When he gets there, he just bags everything. Hefty easily goes into a sack.
I love that part.
Azrael just rounds him up. Papa then just dumps the magic mix on
him. Get in my sack, Smurfs! It's all to the lake!
Yeah, all he's gonna do is just straight up kill him 2 seconds later.
Yeah.
No, what Papa Smurf always does is, like, if he gets them, he's like, now I'll put you here, now it's time to turn my back just for a minute. Papa dumps a new magical mix on Azrael, who attacks Gargamel just out of years of abuse. And for putting that bite in his ear. They run off, and Hefty shrinks down, having cooled off. We're assumed the mix will wear off everybody else. And it's up to Brainy to clean up, because he's a jerk. What the Smurf?
Everybody hates Brainy.
It's the Smurfs. I mean, it's not like... I feel like... These are the really good and weird ones are at the beginning. There's the kind of just general mainstreamification, re-smurfification of everything. So it's streamlined by the time you get to like Sasset and the Smurflings. So watch early Smurfs.
Let's see. They start out on an episode about Smurfette. Is that a recap of the movie maybe?
Yeah, that comes late in the show. I feel like there was a real scramble of episodes for season one.
Yeah. You know, I don't know.
Did you see that last Smurf movie with the Lost Village and all the girl Smurfs?
The live action or the animated?
The animated new one.
Oh, no.
With Rainn Wilson as Gargamel.
2006, I think.
It's pretty good, folks. If you watch those two Neil Patrick Harris ones, we're like, I guess I don't like Smurfs. Watch Lost Village. You'll
that's
like
the
Smurfs.
That's the Lost Village.
Yeah, it's fun.
I saw it in my research for this.
It's really kind of fun.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, wow, so this is the best Smurf movie then, eh?
I wonder. Yeah, I'll check that
out. It's not anything like, whoa.
Oh, Adam.
Pixar Smurfs isn't. No, it's just fine.
I want to ask you something.
It looks like it's supposed to.
In the episode about Papa's getting old, did you catch that one? Where
Papa's
like,
got a brand new Smurf. What happens in it?
He realizes his hip hurts, and he realizes that, you know.
His hip hurts?
Yeah, he realizes he's too old for
Smurf. He gets addicted to Smurfioids.
No. But he does mention at one point that the Earth is millions of years old.
Okay.
And I was just like, whoa, Papa Smurf.
Paganism.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So the Smurfs believe in, you know, evolution and the whole nine. And
you'd have to be a Smurf, idiot.
What about the dino Smurfs?
Only Flat Earth Smurf believes that. Only Flat Smurf Smurf.
I just wanted to point that out. I also watched the episode of The Weather Smurfing Machine, which, you know.
Okay. Any weird one-off Smurfs you notice in there?
Is there one you had in mind?
Sickly, I'd like to know what did Sickly die of? Because he's not in the later ones. Sickly's in two episodes, and then, well, Sickly.
They realized that was just a non-starter.
It's like, we couldn't use a different... In my mind, Sickly would just have to have Sleepy's voice. I'm not feeling so
good. But, you know, just to wrap my feelings up, I didn't have as much fun watching them as I wanted to.
No.
I woke up Saturday, literally on Saturday morning, was like, I'm going to watch the Smurfs.
These were exciting cartoons.
They were on, yeah. But, you know, it didn't set my world on fire this time, so.
Watch that new movie. I think you'd like that.
If it had been the new movie, I would have been interested. Or if it had been the original movies, I would have been interested. You know what I'm saying?
A ringing endorsement.
I'm sorry. Obviously, I did not like the opening season of the Smurfs as much as you did.
Fair enough. This was on for an hour. So right out the gate, they were like, holy show Smurf. A ton of it.
A smurfing hour?
A whole Smurf. So by the time it's over, it's 9:30. It's the Kid Superpower Hour with Shazam.
God, what a title. That's like eight words.
That must be Filmation. And there's only one season of this sucker.
Is it Filmation? Okay.
Two cartoons.
Do you know how many Filmation projects only went one season?
A lot of them, I'm guessing.
A lot.
They're like, oh, that didn't really work out, did it?
Yeah. So, you know, folks, you know.
Shazam! That is not what this is. And it's not the genie either.
Mm-mm. Shazam is actually the...
Who is this jerk?
Is the alias of Captain Marvel.
Okay.
And Captain Marvel's a comic book character that predates DC Comics, so DC bought him, and when they bought him, Marvel...
What, is a jerk move?
Huh? No, they were like, he's so close to Superman, we might as well own him, I think, you know?
Wow.
So they purchased him kind of to maybe put him out of business, but then also they started using him, and then Marvel Comics came along years later, and they started suing for the name. They were like, we got a Captain Marvel,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it seems like we should have that.
Yeah, and so during that time, he had to be called Shazam. So on this
I wondered why, like, all this way to go.
So on this show, they call him both. So I don't know what kind of limbo this exists in.
Right, it's when Billy says the wizard's name, he becomes Captain Marvel because Shazam.
It's because he started in, like, Gold Key comics or something. You know what I mean? Like, ancient comics. Because
it also affects the rest of his family and his friend, Freddy.
Yeah.
But I was like, was Freddy just over? It's so superfluous.
Yeah, and this is all from the comic, too, man.
And they live with Uncle Dudley.
Yeah.
And
I love Uncle Dudley.
And his friend, Mr. Talkie Tawny, a tiger man.
Adam,
I was like, what? It almost didn't register to me right away that this was happening.
When you were talking just now, did you have an aneurysm? Because what you said made no sense. It sounded like you said they live with a talking tiger.
Peanut butter, orange fish.
They
Satan's
do.
Wheelbarrow.
They do. They got a guy that looks like Tony the Tiger.
He's a cat.
I didn't see the explanation, did
Uncle...
you?
Uncle... Well, he's just a cat man. He's a tiger man. I looked him up. I was like, oh, well, I don't need any more information. He's a tiger man.
I want to jump out there and say that Uncle Marvel is my favorite character.
Uncle. Is that Uncle Dudley? He's that weird blonde old man or white-haired old man.
Yeah, and he has WC.
He hangs out with the cat guy.
He has a WC Fields impression voice.
Yes. Like, what is going on, Woozy?
Do you know what his deal is? He's the only one that doesn't have superpowers, but he lies to them.
What?
So that's why he's
do
like...
Do they know, or are they just like, sure, Uncle Dudley?
I don't think they know.
Sure.
He's like, Shazam! And then he's like, puts on a uniform and like, pretends there was lightning. I mean, I was like, that's... To be honest...
The saddest...
But isn't that the most interesting character?
Well, he activates his uncle powers.
This is the only
feel it yet?
It's the only interesting thing about this damn show. I'm sorry.
I just wrote the word "fail" at the end of my summation of this.
It's corny.
Well, the voices in Shazam, Captain Marvel is Burr Middleton. Barry Gordon is Captain Marvel Jr. You'd know him as Donatello and Bebop from Ninja Turtles.
That Jeep was.
Dawn Jeffrey was Mary Marvel.
That's the, you know, the matriarch.
And Uncle Dudley and Talkie were both Alan Oppenheimer. What? He's all over this thing.
Yeah, I'm Uncle Dudley.
I'm getting paid.
I got magic powers. Swear to God.
I can get sick of kids quicker than anyone. Pets, too.
Yeah. I got it, you know.
Which one did you watch?
First of all, Adam...
any memorable...
Yeah, you know...
I was like, oh, Shazam.
Sadly, I don't have the name of this one right off the bat. But, so what happens is the Marvels get a visit from their cousin, Freckles Marvel. Did you catch any of this?
No.
Freckles Marvel shows Freckles. Up... She's a young girl. She looks about 8 or 9 years old.
Grew into that name.
Blue. She's got a, you know, rosacea. Freckles and then blonde hair. And then, you know, so anyway, she shows up and she's like, I got this magic book. It's from the family. They said you should check it out, right? And they're like, let's see that book, right? And Billy takes the book and then and him and Mary are looking at it. And what do they see? They see pictures of alligator men wearing polo shirts.
What?
They have Izod symbols.
What?
Yeah. And they got tennis rackets.
Oh, my God.
And they're like, oh, my God, what's that freaky creature? And they're like, this book says these creatures, you know, and they're like, it's a made-up story, you know. So they all go to bed.
It's my novel.
And then at night, the alligator creatures jump out of the book. And they come and they kidnap.
Do they have Cajun voices?
They're called the Hiss Men. And they have Izod shirts. They have tennis rackets and, wristbands.
So they probably have, like... Jim Backus type voices. Out of the way, Paul.
Well, they're like, you know.
Oh, God.
Because
it's time to take a piss on your grave.
They have a machine that changes humans to hiss men. So they do that to the Marvel family.
Put and in the hiss of fire.
They can't call Captain Marvel because they can't say Shazam. They're like,
I guess. Right?
But listen to this, Adam. The leader of the hiss men is a guy named iMac.
Whoa.
And he is inconsequential.
Does not compute.
No. So, you know, anyway. They do the they go into the Hiss Men's dimension. They fight them. They lose their powers. They get turned into alligators. And by turning back into Shazam, Billy is able to defeat their power. Freckles takes them down there. And they run the Hiss Men through a machine, turn them
Freckles
back into
humans.
Freckles
turns red.
Yeah. You know, and I want to say... Freckles, I looked this up because I was like, is this really a character?
Freckles.
And her original comic book appearances, she was a real kind of a homely girl, you know?
Right.
And in these, they really sexualized her.
Ew.
To the point that it's incredibly awkward. And
was she like Lena Hyena or one of who's that? There was like a hillbilly version of the wolf girl from those Tex Avery cartoons.
It's like that, but she's too young. And I'll tell you this much.
It's like Myrtle Urkel.
As I was Googling all this, I came across a review.
The police played you.
A review, yeah. I got red flagged. I read a review of Shazam, and they were like, I couldn't help but notice the awkward, you know, outfit on Freckles, blah, 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 blah. So, like, so people noticed this. And if you put two pictures side by side, you can see what happened here, which is not cool.
Oh, no.
Yeah, anyway. So that's one thing they did.
I saw Who's Who at the Zoo.
Oh, yeah.
And there was an evil, super intelligent gorilla. Riddle me this. Dr. Alirog. That's gorilla backwards.
I get it.
And he's And he's, oh, sorry, he's supposed to be super intelligent. He's hell-bent on making animals superior to man and increases Captain Marvel's powers so they're out of control. Then yet another kidnapping of side characters who want to prove their equals fail. There's a lot of that.
That's what happened.
Action. A lot of like, we'll show them. We don't need them to solve this one. And they get taken down pretty easily.
They were kidnapped bait in the Hissman episode. But...
Dad, we need help, boss.
His nickname is the Big Red Cheese.
They have to scream their names. Isn't it super suspicious for you to have to yell the name of the secret superhero you are to become them? Convenient not.
You know, Adam, the only thing I like about this show is I did kind of enjoy the magical wackiness, like the complete unnecessary... They feel no need to explain themselves whatsoever.
Right.
Do they on the
that's
show?
The way it is.
They're just like, here, audience,
look, that's what's happening. Similarly, I feel... Okay, also we should note there were live-action intros, songs, and comedy shtick with the voice artist playing their characters. The characters from Hero High... Wrap your mind around this conceit. A superhero high school. Fresh take.
No.
Originally was the feature... It was originally going to feature the Archie gang, but the rights had expired.
Whoa!
So Filmation producer Lush Scheimer ended up playing the main character on here. Played AWOL, who had invisibility. Sonic Blasting Bratman, Lou's daughter Erica, played that. Super Surfer, Captain California was Chris Hansel. Malo McCaslin? Yeah. Sorry, May. Was Dirty Trixie.
Ooh.
That sounds great.
I saw that one.
Rebecca Perla as the endlessly glorious gal. Jerry Fields as Anita. Actually, she played Misty Magic, but she was Anita from Friday the 13th, Part 5. The girl whose boyfriend gets killed on the toilet.
Oh. I love 5.
baby.
I almost watched 5 yesterday. Can't get enough.
Johnny Van Okunor as Sonic Charge Punk Rock. God, there's a lot of people in this. Whoa. John Berwick as Dirty Gadgeteer Rex Ruthless. And Jim Greenleaf is Weatherman. Some fat weather dude.
Nah.
Good God.
I wouldn't advise this. If you're going to go look stuff up, nah.
No.
If you're going to look stuff up, first of all, look up the 1988 Superman.
Watch Sky High.
Go watch The Incredibles again.
Oof. Yeah, you could really tell that this was supposed to be Archie, because that's the level of character we're kind of talking about.
It's interesting. I actually would have liked to have seen the Archie version.
Right?
Wouldn't you?
I was like, that would have been... It's a super Archie, and all they would have been is just Archie with superpowers.
Because yep. They don't take these characters seriously.
No, nothing matters. There's zero consequences.
Nope.
The gang use their powers to eat pizza in the one I watched called He Sinks Starships. So they're late to the police briefing, as usual. Classic Archie move. All their idiotic use of powers makes a big mess. Meanwhile, some super evil purple perv named Space Phase is trying to take control of the government-controlled test planes nearby. But Bratman's whining causes a tree to crush the bad guy's apparatus. The villain just steals it anyway, but our Zeros... save the day through their dumbass accidents and their never-ending powers.
Mm.
I wrote, this is ugly and stupid.
I didn't even catch that.
This is just, yeah, it kind of reminded me of the Archie show, and I wasn't a fan of the Archie show, really, either. I like Archie. Archie's here.
You were just watching Riverdale.
I watched about a season of Riverdale before I ran out of reasons to keep watching. Well, yeah, I see.
You know what, Adam? I mean, surely that's enough about Shazam, right? Isn't there some show out there that people might actually know?
Let's skip it though and go straight to 11.
Oh no, are you serious?
10:30. Who's got some amazing friends? Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Mm-hmm. Season 1 of 3. Oh my God, I watched this.
As a kid?
Yeah, like I remember watching this show.
Did you know in 3 seasons they only did 23 episodes?
What?
Yeah.
Season 2? Like 2 episodes?
They just played the out of them.
Yeah, because I remember being like at least 1986 watching this.
Yeah, I believe you're right. I think it ran until 86.
This is the superheroic adventures of a college-aged.
They ran those 23 episodes for 5 years. But, yeah, so, but did you know this was super popular? Super popular.
Yeah, even I watched it. Well, it looks kind of cool. Spider-Man looks good. He's got full web costume, so no cheating. There's a new Human Torch, basically, because they couldn't really get the license for that character. So there's Firestar. It's a lady.
Yep.
And then Sexy Iceman. Who looks like Silver Surfer, but in briefs.
Bobby Drake is his name.
Voiced by Frank Welker.
Is he?
Firestar was voiced by Kathy Garver. She was Sissy on Family Affair. And Spider-Man is Dan Gilvinson, who is Slipstream on G.I. Joe, Cooler on Pound Puppies, and Bumblebee from the Trains from Mars.
He's only in every Transformers ever.
Oh, righto.
Ever.
So he gets Adam. Around.
Oh my god.
This is a pretty good looking show. It had sweet 80s music and nice synth effects.
Yeah, the theme song, I was thinking that's the best theme song since the original, right?
I kind of liked it. I was like, this is kind of funky and weird.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little broad. I mean, for a superhero show, I guess they're all kind of broad, but this one was real like everybody had to say what they were doing. Mm-hmm. I know.
It doesn't.
If I swing up here.
It doesn't look bad. You know,
it's fine.
It kind of looks better than the later episodes of the 60s Spider-Man, you know, like
yeah, sure. Yeah, this is a no low for Spider-Man.
You know, I saw a bunch of people on the web claiming that Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was kind of the catalyst for the modern era of superhero shows, like superhero team shows.
Huh.
You know, so but well, anyway,
I wonder how long it had been since the Super Friends.
Oh.
It was 81.
Wow. Well, what was on? So we had the Batman Hour on the other
side. Oh, wait. We must have had a hit up on them this year. 1981 just never ends.
No, I believe it was a Superman Batman. But anyway, so this show, Adam, I don't know if you knew or not, but it ran concurrently with the Spider-Man solo show.
Oh, I was going to talk about that during the syndicated incorporated wrap-up.
Interesting.
That's right. There's another Spider-Man show done by the Marvel people.
Yeah.
Because sure this is done by.
Oh, Adam, this is done by Fleischman and
is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, really?
Because they said they said you can see the circular logo in the intro at one point.
Can you? Okay.
I believe hey, if I'm wrong, write in. Mm-hmm. I believe that's what I read, yeah.
Totally.
This is by Fleischman and so-and-so who did all of the Tarzan Lone Ranger Zorro stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, but anyway, you could do a lot worse than this. The jokes are corny, and it's pretty much just about the two guys trying to get with Firestar.
right. Oh, wait, look, I'm looking it up, and it's a Marvel production, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they
had... So they had two competing Spider-Man shows? That's crazy. They're just like, we'll get them by one or by three.
Did you see the intro to the solo Spider-Man?
I saw a second of it.
It's like the same thing, except it just has...
Yeah, now this adds up. They're just like, don't use that animation.
Yeah, yeah.
They must have really been cutting some interesting corners. That's a smart move.
All they did was...
You got me!
They erased His Amazing Friends off of the end of the intro.
They just fucked off.
That's a weird thing going on there. But anyway, apparently Amazing Friends was the popular one, right?
So yeah, because there's a sexy dude and a hot lady.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's just like, one of us is going to bang one of us.
I mean, and they're not too sexed out. You know,
I know. I'm trying to make it go.
I'm just saying, we've seen a lot worse in these lineups. They're not really, like, Firestar's not really sexed out like we've seen some of these. In some of these
cartoons. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I forget about the ladies. You're right.
Well,
I was just like, hey, this guy looks like Silver Surfer.
They don't have her out there like Chitara or anything. You know what I mean? Like, they're not showing you her abs and stuff like that. But
yeah, for the longest time, I confused Iceman and Silver Surfer. I thought, like, everywhere Silver Surfer went,
he
left that, like, long trail of, but it was ice, not, like, whatever, Surfonium or whatever he's on.
Adam, I got a little...
Silvarium.
I got a fun fact.
I love fun.
There's an episode where Bobby Drake and Peter Parker both state that they're dating the same girl.
Whoa, does she know? I thought she was like playing it loose.
Like, wasn't really dating anybody.
No, it's not Firestar.
Oh, someone else?
Yeah, it's another girl. It's
what? Like,
it's Firestar's friend. Because, gross. You know, I saw...
you'll never get with her.
Another podcast reviewer pointed this out, but there's a part, and they show Bobby Drake, and he's like, oh, that's my girlfriend. Or he's like, yeah, that's...
Wait a minute.
He says, that's the girl I'm dating, and Peter goes out with her that night.
Maybe so he's just a jerk.
They really are not like that. Don't get with your friend's girl thing. They're just like, what? That's out the window.
So, yeah, a lot of backstabbing, more than I remember.
I just wanted to let you know how these guys roll.
Iceman's kind of a creep.
They're obviously in college, right? I mean,
yeah, they're college aged.
What about their stupid dog?
What was that dog's name? It's like
Miss Lion.
Miss Lion.
Oh, she's like another character.
Miss Interesting.
She's the fourth spider friend.
She uses his spider powers to pick up her shit, but she'll burn it and he'll turn it to ice.
Yeah. Did you catch what their tagline was? Mm-mm. Spider friends, go for it.
Whoa. Interesting, they all just conformed to being spider friends despite their non-spider attributes.
Yeah, spider friends sounds like another name. Super
friends. Yeah, why isn't this called spider friends? That would have been a bold move. Mm-hmm. So I had to find the one they probably didn't want to watch. They didn't want to rerun ever. I found Quest for the Red Skull.
Oh, yeah.
Red Skull kidnaps Hiawatha Smith, who's pretty hot, even though he has a Native American swastika in his house.
That part was weird, wasn't it?
And then the Nazis accidentally, like, saluted anyway. They're like, no, wrong one. Like,
that's a Native
American. What a who's on first scenario.
Wasn't that a weird scene? Because, like, first of all, usually don't even see a swastika. And then secondly, it's like, they're like, no, that's not the swastika you're thinking of.
I guess, learn that now. And the Spider Crew, have to interfere so they can stop his plan for World War III. This episode is seldom reran because of all these swastikas and Hitler illusions. There's a scene at a professor's party where the gang chat about World War II. It was in all the papers.
World War II itself.
World War what? Some asshole says, Hiawatha Joe shows the spider team some WW2 films. There's some dark shots of him in the shadows. Like, I was like, shadows? And it was suddenly a different dark tale that were pretty well done. There are pictures of Hitler and Red Skull that show up that look ridiculous and kind of suck the air out of that. I was like, what?
Boy, that was ballsy, wasn't it? That episode? Oh, my God.
My favorite part was there is a secret tomb illuminated by the sun shining through a fairly obvious swastika-looking rock. Look, that must be it. Really? Yeah, it looks like a swastika, and it's a rock. Like, that's probably it. This is kind of a fun show. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we've seen a lot worse.
That 90s one was better, though. I'd rather be watching that. No Time, though.
Mm-hmm.
No Time.
You know, just to wrap my part of it up, I watched The Crime of All Centuries.
What was it?
That's where they have Kraven and Kraven the Hunter, and he time travels, and Peter makes a bold comment.
Kraven?
Yeah, he wears like a lion's mane around his neck from a lion he's killed.
Jerk.
And Peter says, anybody that's that into hunting, there's something seriously wrong with them, right?
In now, their pants.
I was like, whoa, that's pretty forward, you know
take
what I'm saying?
Take that.
So anyway, Kraven time travels. What creeps me out about all this is in the comic book, Kraven killed Peter Parker at one point.
What?
So it's kind of weird to see.
So like, oh no, is he gonna kill him at the end of the episode?
Yeah.
And he's gonna have to tell us turn the water off when you're brushing your teeth to save your parents.
He's making quips. He's like, have a pizza, Kraven. And all I can think is, he murdered you.
He's craving pizza and dear murder.
And then he committed suicide. So it's a little weird to see him in the cartoon, you know.
Well, that sounds fun.
I saw him fight Merlin. And I saw him team up.
Saw him fight Merlin.
And Merlin's all over these shows. And I saw him meet the X-Men. And I saw him fight the Kingpin. And, you know, funny thing is the Kingpin.
Merlin 9 to 5.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I heard a Stan Lee cameo in the Kingpin episode.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that.
I believe. So, anyway.
So, Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy! But
oh, it also, I just want to say one more thing. It had stolen sound effects
from what?
Battlestar Galactica.
What?
Yeah,
they were pretty cool. They were good sound effects in this. I noted that. It's got some extras. Well, that explains that.
Yep.
Let's go. Let's take a trip. Would you like to dream on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar. It's space stars.
I'd rather stay on Earth.
Space stars. 11 o'clock and it's space stars. My favorite Campbell's soup. The Hanna-Barbera block of space-based action series who kind of cross all over each other. Know what I mean?
First of all, this is very misleading, Adam, because...
Space stars!
It should be called Space Ghost. It's Space Ghost.
Or I thought the Spacetastic World of Hanna-Barbera would have been apropos.
That's even better. Space Stars sounds like, it sounds... So...
Indubitably, my favorite breakfast, Space Stars.
The name didn't stick around because I'd never heard of them. You know what I mean? Usually you want to lead with your big name.
But... Oh, Space Stars. Well, you know what? Space is huge. It's 81, so we're in between probably two Star Wars movies, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this show consists of, for one, Space Ghost, 22 new episodes, the continued space adventures featuring Gary Owens, Steve Spears, Alexandra Stoddard, and Frank Welker.
It's a little tongue-in-cheek.
So Space Ghost is taking a little step down in quality here.
Visual quality.
You know what? All of these are clearly using the same space backgrounds because this is a murky space. This is a real kind of dark-toned series of cartoons. Not very bright. Mm-hmm. Well, Hercules was kind of bright, but bright brown.
They made a couple of jokes about feminism and chauvinistic people.
Oh, my God.
I was like, whoa.
In what? In Space Ghost?
Yeah, like the kid said something and the girl's like, don't be a chauvinist pig. And I was like, whoa.
You tell him. Fuck you, Jace.
Yeah.
I watched Space Spectre where, oh, my God, black hole opens.
Seems kind of redundant.
And an evil alternate universe version of Space Ghost arrives. So that's a... trope right there, alternate universe version of someone shows up, and at the same time Space Ghost and Jace are simultaneously sucked into a similar black hole, although Bizarro Jace doesn't come out. I thought that was weird. In that world, I guess Space Spectre would have murdered him. Space Spectre has the inverted colors of Space Ghost, so his blacks are white and his whites are black.
How do they do it?
But really smart Jan doesn't notice right away until she realizes Jace is gone, too.
She doesn't notice his costume's different.
Wait a minute. Yeah, she's slow. Slow in the roll. On Bizarro Ghost Planet, Space Ghost and Jace contend with being wanted criminals. And the phrase, I'll explain it later, is said.
Yes.
Jan hears Spectre plotting aloud to himself. But Space Ghost finds his way back in time to have an even battle, which only Blip helping quells the villain because Space Ghost's got friends. That's a difference, my friend.
They're stars.
My not friend. Oh no, now you have a friend. The animation and colors have gotten kind of worse, but it's still kind of blunt and stupid in a fun way. It's fun. It's fun to be dumb on Space Ghost.
I felt like it was a little more tongue-in-cheek this time. Like they're like, we've been doing this for a while now. Screw it.
Well, I read somewhere that a lot of people who actually worked on these shows were fans of the original Space Ghost, so they got to finally get cracked open their knuckles on this show.
I can believe it.
Bled all over it. Mm-hmm. To different degrees of success. I mean, it's okay. I liked the other one. It was space was kind of more blue on Space Ghost 60s. Here it's black. It's dark. This is endless. You can put anything on that space.
Mm-hmm.
But you could even put the Herculoids. Season 2 of them, their previous season was in 67. The continued sci-fi adventures of 3 humanoids and 5 super freaks.
So you mean there was a 20-year span in between their seasons?
Yeah, they were like, just bring those back and we'll just make them more spacey, whatever they were. So these got a little more science fiction-y. Herculoids, voices of Sparky Marcus, taking over Ted Eccles as Dorno, son of Xandor, voiced by Mike Rode, who was Race Bannon, and his wife Tara, Virginia Gregg, a.k.a. the voice of Mrs. Norman Bates from Psycho.
Oh. Who's the girl, Norman?
No shit.
Mike Round also voices Zok the Dragon, Igu the Rock Ape, Tundro the Multi-Triceratops, and Don Messick voices the iconic blobs Gloop and Gleep.
And Shmoo.
And yeah, you know, it's all the same.
No, it's not. Shmoo's not on here.
No, Shmoo's Frank Welker because he sounds like Slimer.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? What I've never really paid attention to who really stars on this thing, but what a pile of things.
Mm.
And they all stand in a group all the time. That bothered me. was like, I understand it saves time. Come on, spread out.
I didn't catch a lot of this one this time through.
Yeah, it was really hard to find a season two of Hercules, but I found one because it sounded dumb. Space Trappers. I love space anything. They got to fill their quota. The Hercules are gathering energy rocks, which keep exploding in Igu's dumb face. The trappers net the humans and put the creatures under hypnosis for an intergalactic zoo. Yikes. Gloop and Gleep, who were off doing God knows what behind a rock, free the people. Free the people. The space trappers sick the creatures on their friends, so Xandor tricks them into thinking the planet is so dangerous they need Gloop and Gleep's help to live here, and then they chase them off as Terra sneaks aboard the trap ship and disables the hypnotic device. Everyone runs the trappers off, and Xandor welcomes his monster friends home. What did I just watch? It's a fever dream. I kind of like the way this stuff's designed, but their voices range from acceptable to like, well, that's not a choice at all. That's... So anyway, there's still more space stars. Can you believe how many stars?
I caught the rest of these stars.
Did you catch Teen Force?
I did catch Teen Force. First of all, this is where Casey Kasem comes in.
He's the announcer?
As you wouldn't expect.
Time to meet the Teen Force.
Teen Force, this is like New Gods. This is based on Kirby's comic book.
It is?
No, I'm just guessing this, right?
Okay.
Because they ride on these same space bikes, those goofy-ass space bikes.
I wrote space, supersonic space wave jammers.
yeah. Space Sea-Doos.
Wave Runner, 64th.
So that's their thing. They're a bunch of New Gods looking people that fly around on space bikes.
They're from an alternate universe.
Their bad guys are named Uglor and Puglor. That's their main villain.
Nice life.
And also, Adam, did you notice that the sound effects guy from Police Academy appeared?
Michael Winslow plays. This is what I wrote.
You did.
They're accompanied by two small blue dumb alien dog things named Plutum and Glax. And I wrote, did they leave out their middle brother named Onda?
Put him on my...
Teen Force. Dane Cook, R. Kelly, and Jerry Seinfeld scour the stars for the hottest jailbait in the Milky Way. Oh, no, wait. That's what I thought this was.
No.
Kid Comet has flash powers, pretty much, by Daryl Hickman, who's worked on a bazillion things. Moleculad controls his molecular structure. Voice of David Rayner. Elektra has the sixth sense and teleportation powers. BJ Ward voices her. She was Velma, Betty Rubble for a time. And Scarlet on G.I. Joe.
Oh, my God.
And Michael Winslow has put him on the Glax.
I can't believe that.
Put him on the Glax.
Anyway, this is...
Uglor.
This is like a...
What do you think Uglor's problem is? his bad design or his dumb name?
It's no dumber than Puglor.
I wrote stupid-looking villain.
This is a mostly unique... kind of show. This is why you've not heard of it.
Pudlore.
The space star.
I wrote there's no stakes. There's lame heroic jokes.
And it's hard to tell between the heroes.
I wrote, is this the space cadets grown up and finally taken seriously as something worth murdering? Also, everyone can breathe in space rules.
Oh. So, also...
Bad poses. So they must have been really bad that I wrote that note. Like, they don't contort right.
I got some questions about another one of these sub-shows, Adam. So
yes, please move on.
Okay, Astro and the Space Nuts?
Astro and the Space Nuts.
Did Astro have a stroke, or why does he act different now?
Okay, Racy. Okay, Racy.
Why is he so different now? Like, he's... He acts different.
He's obviously different. Horrified since the Jetsons died.
Oh, is that what happened?
Because apparently the world outside the Jetsons is just fraught with space battle.
Oh, yeah.
So the follow-up to the Jetsons is this show. The Jetsons family dog joins the Galactic Police Force.
Yep.
Led by Space Ace.
Space Ace, y'all.
He kind of looks like Tom Selleck.
He's got a mustache. He's got a big old mustache.
Voiced by Michael Bell, who's Quackerjack on Darkwing Duck, Drew Pickles on Rugrats and Grouchy Smurf. And he's along with two other dogs. It's Dipper by Lenny Weinrib, again, who's a scrappy wannabe, basically. And Cosmo, voiced Frank Welker, pretty much in Dinomutt mode.
There's got to be
Sorry, everybody.
There's got to be a Frank Welker dog in every one of these shows.
Don Messick returns as Aspro, who's not as funny this time.
Mm.
I watched the episode Wonder Dog, where Lord Raider, that sounds like a good gay porn, ascends henchman Scavenger to steal the Ace ship. Meanwhile, the Space Mutts are assigned a pompous robo-dog named Brucey. Ace loves how not stupid Brucey is, but he causes headaches for the Mutt crew, who now vow to outperform him. Their dog Jackassery saves the dumb day, and Brucey takes one fall and is inoperable. This is a pretty awkward show.
Yeah. Awkward. Is this for people that just can't stand the Jetsons being off the air?
How does this meet the needs of people who wanted to watch the Jetsons?
I don't know, man. This is weird.
This isn't good Astro. It's not the same space. It doesn't look anything like the Jetsons. It looks like Space Ghost and all the rest, but Astro's there with two other dogs that don't move very much.
I tell you, Adam, you almost want to be like, is this the same Astro? Like, you know,
is this Astro's like coma?
Yeah, or this is
Astro's lost, like
parallel universe Astro.
What happened, Astro?
It's weird, man. It weirded me.
When they came to Lord,
like what is?
I did nothing.
George. You know, Space Ace is rolling. The whole thing confused me.
What is Space Ace?
Their owner?
He's super cash.
Yeah. Where's he from?
He seems super cool.
He has his own show, doesn't he? We've seen
I don't know if that's the same Space Ace, though.
You're right. I don't know. I was just assuming. Anyway, this is a weird one, folks. Did you know this existed?
Yeah, I had like one of those like Art of Hanna-Barbera books growing up, but I never saw this cartoon, but it had a picture and I was like, what is that? What is Astro and the Space Nuts? What could have possibly happened? Well, something dark happened to end up in this universe from the previous one.
It's in a weird place.
All of the Rosie robots took out their families.
The rise of the Rosies.
Cogswell Cog took over and made a Matrix.
Cogswell Chronicles.
The Cogs tricks. It is not fun.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun and leave Space Stars forever.
the terribly titled show.
Oh, man. Here's another great title. It's 12 o'clock. Time for the Daffy Speedy Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Daffy and Speedy Show. This is a show that is brought to you with Daffy and Speedy because we cannot see Bugs Bunny.
Or the Roadrunner.
He's tied up in court. Is the Roadrunner tied up too?
He's on the same show as Bugs, so those two never show up on Daffy and Speedy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Bugs Embargo.
Elmer can go wherever the fuck he wants. He's like, I'm on both shows.
These are new, by the way. They're not all new, but
there's some newer stuff, wraparounds.
Moby Duck.
Yeah, there's some later. Oh man, those late Daffy Speedy cartoons. What a dull combination.
Yeah, Message to Gracious.
Why did they do this? Like Sylvester and Speedy were great. Just do that.
And don't they look terrible, Adam? Ooh.
They're a weird combo.
Oh, they're not as bad as that Tom and Jerry from '81.
Yeah, they don't look great, but
they don't look good.
At least they had some shorts throughout the late 60s, but that's not a great time to be making shorts. There's about 14 of them.
Did some of the duck character models look weird to you?
Yeah, there's some weird cheap
their things bill, going on here. They did not nail the bill. You know what I'm saying? Like they look weird. Right. They look weird. And then the Daffy stuff was weird. The Speedy stuff looked crappy too. That's all that shit.
Even those late, like, they're still theatrical, I think, in the late 60s.
81 is rough for the classics.
Yeah, because you got to watch Daffy and Speedy cartoons, and there's only so many that are really that interesting. It's nice to have a mouse around the house. Well, Sylvester is given a nervous breakdown by Speedy, so Granny hires Daffy to exterminate him. There's the Music Mice Trio in 67, where Speedy's mariachi band hounds Daffy Duck for an audition. And See You Later, Gladiator, one of the last ones where Daffy and Speedy get stuck in time
and end up
in ancient Rome.
Must everyone end that way?
Boy. After NBC canceled this, they never got another Looney Tunes show.
Oh.
They were cut off. They're like, oh, you didn't like that? Then you cut off!
That's amazing.
Nothing.
So they only appeared on ABC and CBS after that?
After that, I think it was mostly just ABC.
This doesn't surprise me because we know NBC quits at some point. They're, you know,
Right, and
they're the first.
The Bugs Bunny and Tweety show is on ABC for about 20 years, it feels like.
They were like, you don't want our Daffy and Speedy?
We'll take Tweety.
You get the hell out.
Yeah, then Tweety reverted back to the Bugs Bunny show, I guess. They were like, he's a big pull.
Yeah.
Nah,
this is not what you want
to
watch.
So I like to bring up random other Looney Tune things. I love the Three Bears. Do you remember the Three Bear cartoons?
Tell me more about my eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's the one, the first one where Bugs Bunny meets the Three Bears and Mama Bear just wants to nail Bugs Bunny. And he's like, I went too far.
The dad's constantly getting hurt by the son who's essentially...
He's giant.
He's George from A Mice and Men.
He's like baby Huey size. He's huge and stupid. He was voiced by Kent Rogers and then later Stan Freeberg. Mel Blanc is the dad, often called Henry by B. Benaderet.
Oh, Henry.
But it's Father's Day in A Bear for Punishment. That one's really funny. Watch A Bear for Punishment every Father's Day. Hmm. It's just them torturing him. Who's the one we really love, Father? The whole thing was a series of the modern nuclear family and their wrong roles. There's also What's Brewin' Brewin', where they try to hibernate, and Bare Feet, where they try to hone a family act for the circus. These were one of the characters Chuck Jones created and quickly retired in 1951 that included Hubie and Birdie and Charlie Dog. I love Charlie Dog. I should bring him up next episode. You ain't got no dog. I ain't got no master.
Yeah.
Love them.
This is good.
We should wrap up the morning with 12:30. I guess technically that's the beginning of the afternoon.
Yeah.
With reruns of the 1959 classic Bullwinkle.
That's right.
Hey, who me?
Bullwinkle.
I love Bullwinkle.
I mean, it's great.
I forgot that I owned all the DVDs.
It's great, Adam. It's great. You know, I watched some Bullwinkle. I watched some Fractured Fairy Tales. I watched some Professor Peabody. This was all included.
Classic.
I watched Mr. Know-It-All. This was all included in this particular year of Bullwinkle.
That's pretty sweet.
Because so, I watched one of those videos where it was actually like, here's NBC from 1980.
Oh, cool.
You know what I'm saying? So it even had the commercials. It had Toys R Us commercials. But
how did you watch Bullwinkle growing up?
How? Like on?
Yeah, like was it on like? Because I grew up, it was on like Sunday morning, and it was out of order.
Was it?
I don't know. Then I remember getting cable. And I think Nickelodeon had Bullwinkle. It's Rocky and Bullwinkle on Nickelodeon. It's just the same show with them on it. But I still think they aired them out of order. I never got to see Bullwinkle in order except on those, I think Disney brand VHSs, where it was like they did like weird paintings like. With Bullwinkle in them.
So the conjoining stories weren't in order either? Like,
yeah, like they I continue, never could right? follow them by watching them weekly. Like, they would just air whatever.
Weird.
So it was endlessly frustrating. I was like, I just want to see one of these beginning to end. But if you bought those tapes, even though they edited it down a little bit, you could finally see them in order.
Hmm. You know, this is the one. This has got a second intro, not the original one. Not the ding, 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 you know,
right? There's a million random.
This one.
This suffers from cryptic credits, I think, more than maybe Flintstones, where eventually they just use like the same da 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 da, da where the lights explode around the credits. Like those aren't the right credits for every episode of Bullwinkle, by far. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever.
So this has got an intro where Rocky is fighting for top billing.
Aggressive Rocky.
Yeah.
Again.
Can you? I caught a little line at him. Did you know there was that Boris Badenoff is mentioning that the fearless leader has his uncle in prison. That's like that's his motivation.
He's pretty funny.
At one point, the fearless leader says, "We will downgrade his sentence to life."
There's a lot of good lines on Bullwinkle. It may look like the back of a cereal box, and it may be animated bad sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Looks like the back of a cereal box, looks like Hoppity Hooper.
It is so funny, though.
You know
what I noticed this time quickly watching some Bullwinkle? Rocky and Bullwinkle kind of remind me of Homer and Marge Simpson.
Huh.
With one being Bullwinkle being Homer, obviously.
Me!
My favorite Bullwinkle arc is called Rue Britannia. The wealthy Earl of Crankcase dies, and his million-pound note is left to an heir with Rue Britannia on his foot, which happens to belong to a moose. Cut to Minnesota, where Bullwinkle steps out of the shower, and Rocky notices the tattoo. Don't you know what that means?
Yeah, I gotta scrub harder.
The Earl's...
How does he see a tattoo on a moose? It doesn't make sense.
He's way down there. I've seen the rest. The Earl's three greedy nephews plot to get the loot and property from our heroes. So they're the bad guys for a while before they hire Boris and Natasha. I think we've seen them before.
Probably another episode.
Yep.
Rocky and Bullwinkle move into Abominable Manor. Traps fail to trip up Bullwinkle.
I hate episodes like this, even though I get the money in the end, which I probably won't.
Oh.
That was a pratfall.
Bullwinkle's great. You can find, like, I think there's actually just, like, a Target you can get those, like, Just Fractured Fairy Tales or Just Peabody. Those are fine, too.
I know there's a really funny part in the Professor Peabody I watched where they're, like, blowing balloons into shapes, and he blows the balloon into the shape of Bullwinkle's head, and he's like, oh, it's that head of that other person that we won't mention because he's not on this segment. And then Mr. Peabody. The Bullwinkle balloon says, likewise, I'm sure. And I was like, that's awesome. They got beef.
Bullwinkle's pretty mouthy.
Yeah.
Watch Bullwinkle.
Oh, man. So, yeah, like Adam said, these are hilarious. Like, this is... This
strong
is,
ending with two classics, even if it's, like, probably not the best of the best.
Yeah.
Versions or choices. So that completes 1981. Thank God. Woof. This has been a trek for me. There's been, like, maybe two shows per morning. I've been like, I could watch that, and then everything else has been a slog.
I agree.
Hope you're happy, folks.
At least 66 was a weird roller coaster ride. You know what I'm saying? But between two different things. But this one, 81's a little uninspired.
So let's do the quick lineup winners. It's 8:00. Are you prepared? It is Super Friends versus Quickie Koala versus the Flintstone Comedy Show. I'd probably watch Flintstones. What are you, Super Friends?
Oh my God. Watch Super Friends. You would even watch this 81 Flintstones? You got a problem, Adam.
I'm morbidly curious about when they do Flintstones. Like,
no, I'm going with Super Friends all the way.
That's probably a better choice. I'm not making the right choice. It's just what I watch.
We're talking about like,
meanwhile, someone's watching crap.
Teenage Pebbles shows up in this, you know.
Maybe her and Bam Bam are going to bang.
I like the...
Bang.
Maybe.
Okay, 8:30, it's Heathcliff and Marmaduke versus Trollkins. Who are you? Versus the Smurfs.
Trollkins is hypothetical.
At this point, I'd rather watch Heathcliff.
Heathcliff, I think, all the way.
Right.
Heathcliff's hilarious. You know.
good choice.
The Smurfs let me down a little bit. I'm sorry. It just happened.
You could do worse than the Smurfs, and that's 9:00. The Fonz and the Happy Days gang versus the first half of the Bugs Bunny show versus the last half of the Smurfs. So I guess I'll watch some Bugs Bunny for half an hour.
It's going to be Bugs Bunny. There's no reason to watch that Fonzie thing.
At least till 9:30. Yeah, man. Fonz and the Happy Days gang.
You don't want to see Ron Howard doing this to himself. Don't watch it. Don't look at it.
Hate, hate, hate. So 9:30, it's Scooby-Doo Classics versus more Looney Tunes versus the Kids Superpower Hour with Shazam. I'll probably watch Scooby-Doo. Mix up my morning. I had fun kind of watching Scooby-Doo for this.
Because there's three chances to watch Looney Tunes, so I'm going to go with Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, oh, well, look, be back.
Classic Scooby-Doo, too. That's the winner, right?
Mm-hmm. 10:00, it's the Richie Rich Scooby-Doo show. Some more Scooby and a little bit of Richie Rich.
That's a wild card. That's...
And Looney Tunes still. And the second half of the Kid Power Hour. Glower. Well, I guess Richie Rich Scooby-Doo. Keep on going.
It ain't Shazam. I'll tell you that much. I'm going to go with Bugs Bunny.
Go back?
Yeah.
Let's see which...
Wait, did you say that? That's what it was up against?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with Bugs Bunny
there.
Yeah, that's a solid answer too. Richie Rich continues with Scooby-Doo into the next hour, 10:30, versus the Popeye Olive Oil Comedy Show, and Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
Spider-Man, hands down.
Yeah, I think I'd probably switch
Richie over. Rich is not funny. You
Richie
know?
Rich was stinky.
You might get a Scooby-Doo, but it's Russian roulette.
It was a pretty big stink fest. Yeah, Spider-Man. Yeah. It's good. 11 o'clock. Laverne and Shirley. Let's join the army, Laverne.
Why not?
Laverne and Shirley in the army versus Black Star versus the first half of Space Stars.
Okay, so we got Black Star, which has no personality. We got
so Laverne Space Ghost is on at the beginning of this block, right?
I want to go with Space Stars, kind of.
Same here. I'm assuming I'll be watching Space Ghost, right?
Yep, because Black Star is uninspired, and Laverne and Shirley in the army is even worse.
I'm a pig.
A commanding pig?
What's happening? They're testing out LSD in the army. 11:30, it's Goldie Gold in Action Jack versus the Tarzan Lone Ranger Zorro Adventure Hour versus the second half of Space Stars.
I'm going to go with Lone Ranger, Tarzan, Zorro.
Yeah, I think I would too, because Goldie Gold's...
sucks.
I would only watch out of morbid curiosity. Tarzan and Lone Ranger could be kind of cool.
Could be, yeah. At least you can see some rotoscoping.
Mm. Some vintage rotoscopes.
Mm-hmm.
12 o'clock, it's Thundar the Barbarian versus Tarzan, Lone Ranger, and probably Zorro's on now. And the Daffy Speedy Show, Thundar!
Thundar, yeah.
Is now that I'm thinking about it, is Thundar the overall winner of this Saturday morning? It's the one generated the most interest for me.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's the best conceit.
And Black Star was based on Thundar, so it can't even, you know,
what the hell, Black Star? Get your shit together. And blame it on the Black Star.
Wouldn't you rather watch Thundar than the Herculoids and stuff? You know, or any of the Space Stars?
Yeah, pretty much. Because Herculoids seemed like a shoddy Thundar. Thundar is pretty cool.
Yeah, they're like, we're in Washington D. They always get the names of the cities wrong.
Trespassers will. It's 12:30 ABC weekend special, so that could be anything. Versus the Tom and Jerry Comedy Show, which is awful. Versus Bullwinkle, which is great.
This is Bullwinkle.
I win.
Anything else is crazy. Tom and Jerry sucks this year.
And then 1 o'clock, only Fat Albert is still on. So go Fat Albert, you made it.
You win.
In last place, what are the odds? Oh, 1981, I don't care for you at all. Mm-mm. No. Oh, yeah. So syndicated, incorporated, and specials. 1981, that Spider-Man Marvel show we talked about. But there were some specials, too. There was Strawberry Shortcake in Big Apple City. A Chipmunk Christmas, that Chuck Jones revival. The Raccoons on Ice. And two Flintstone specials, Flintstone's Jogging Fever and Wind Up Wilma.
Well, you know, Adam, so whenever you're ready here, we've got the old... every Saturday morning number generator. Isn't it the time to figure out where we go next time?
Yeah, let's get out of this year. I don't like it.
All right. So as everybody can see, I got, you know,
he's got nothing up his sleeves.
As always, if it's 1982 or if it's 1980, we're going to roll again because we don't want to go 1 year for the next. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move around a little bit. Come on. Please. What?
1975.
Wow,
the
finally.
Year before I was born.
We haven't done 70s yet.
No.
Oh, this is going to be dreadful.
We've already done 80s twice, and we haven't done 70s once. That's awesome.
Finally, we can finally say groovy. Because, like, boy, have I been holding them in.
I'm glad we didn't have to hit it again. That would have been anticlimactic, don't you think?
I don't want to do that one.
75.
I'm gonna 75. Now that's what I'm talking about.
That's interesting. I'll bet you Super Friends is gonna be good. We'll see. We'll
righteous.
See.
Sweet. It's gonna be quite a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see you in the 70s, the mid 70s, that is. I'm Adam Fair. You can check me out on Adam Fairland on YouTube.
I'm Dusty Griffin. I'll be staying alive on Instagram as Dusty is certifiable.
Nice. And do we have a website they can check out that we're on?
Yeah, everysaturdaymorning.fun collects all of our episodes. Adam has made some nice little YouTube, clips.
Goofabouts, I call them.
On there, yeah. Everyone calls them that. Check us out on there, you know. And we also want to say what up to Pam.
Uber fan.
Yeah. Is it Fit?
Susan Fit.
Susan Fit.
Hey.
Yeah.
Toss out a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Keep sending those checks, and we'll definitely do your episode of choice next.
We thank you for your support.
And hey, keep on carrying on. Rock on. See you in the 70s. And now, 3, 2,